This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We start the second hour of our program on this Tuesday with Notepad. That's where we go back, Packer and Durham, Notepad, P-A-D. That's where we note the month gone by. Superlatives for the most part, although there can be some differences.
Yeah, I don't copy your paper and vice versa.
That's
so
right.
We normally differ right. greatly. Sometimes we are consistent with this,
yeah.
but we'll see where this goes.
All right.
Ready?
Offensive player?
Best offensive player. I had a hard time with this.
Okay.
Because there were a number to choose from. Now, keep in mind, this could be any sport. It's not just a football
sure.
thing, even though football dominates the conversation this time of year.
Right.
You know, I thought about Sam Hartman because he's been so good. He's won the ACC quarterback of the week
right.
the last 2 weeks. But prior to that, Brennan Armstrong won the previous two. Mm-hmm. So I went back and forth and said, you know what? I think Armstrong's probably had better weeks when he didn't win it. So I went Brennan Armstrong, but you could probably sell me on two or three guys here. This was a hard one. So I went Brennan Armstrong just because he's just been phenomenal. I mean, the numbers are just stupid good.
That is true.
And, again, we hope he's going to be okay with the rib injury. I haven't heard any update on that front.
Right.
Who's have an open date coming up, which is probably a good thing before Notre Dame comes to town. But I went Brennan Armstrong. Again, 18 touchdowns, 5 on the ground. The numbers are spectacular. So that's where I was leaning.
That's well done. I went a different route. I went with Sean Tucker, the running back at Syracuse, who's the ACC's leading rusher. Now with 1,267 yards on the season, he is averaging, just so you know, he's at 140.8 yards a game, which is not only number one in the ACC, it is second nationally. And his rushing yard total of 1,267 is number one in the country. He only trails Kenneth Walker III, the Wake transfer at Michigan State, as the nation's leading rusher in yards per game. But in total yards rushing, he's the guy. So I went with Sean Tucker of Syracuse.
Like I said, there's four or five guys I think he could have gone in a number of different directions there. I got no issue with any of those. Best defensive player. Saw him score last weekend when I went down to Death Valley. Check it out. In fact, he was on the show last week. That's on back-to-back weeks that the defensive players showed up on the program and then went on to score. I go Florida State, Jermaine Johnson. He has just been tremendous. The transfer from Georgia. We've given you the stat 100 times last year. Florida State just couldn't get to the quarterback. Only 10 sacks all season as a team. This guy, number 11, is a problem. Even when Dabo Swinney was on with us last week, he said 11 is going to be the best defensive end we've seen all year. There he is with the scoop and score, giving the Noles the lead in midway through the fourth quarter. He has just had a great, great season. Like the way he handles himself. He was great on the air with us. He's got pro written all over.
I agree with you, and I think it could have been Jermaine Johnson again for me. I just chose a different track because I'm seeing a guy start to emerge for Syracuse, and I wanted to make sure he got some notoriety. He's got the same number of sacks that Jermaine Johnson has, and that's Cody Roscoe of the Orange. If Syracuse makes the move here and continues to track up, Cody Roscoe is going to have a lot to do with it. At least a half sack in three of the last four games. But outside of Jermaine Johnson, this is the most impactful defensive player the ACC's got. He'll line up at the end every once in a while now, kids. 18 slides inside, and he is a major issue inside. So Cody Roscoe of Syracuse is my guy. But Johnson, to your point, leads the ACC in sacks and leads the ACC in tackles for loss, too. He has been a major, major weapon for Mike Norvell's team.
Yep, 100% right. And Syracuse's defense has been consistently good all season long.
So, all right, that gets us through those. Do we have any similarities on this list?
We do, apparently.
In fact, our best story of the month of October is the same. It's Wake Forest. You can't get around this one now. I mean, when you get to number 10 for the first time in school history, you're going to be the story of October. And we can talk about all the individual efforts and Dave Clawson's marvelous coaching job, but collaboratively, this has been fun to watch. And I tell you what, the sidearm of the students starting to come out in record numbers, sellout house on Saturday at Truist Field, things like that. Good for them. That's a moment that Wake Forest deserves from the success they've had.
And I think the national narrative of folks are starting to pick up on, hey, who are these guys in Winston-Salem? What's going on there,
right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the initial shock to ACC football conversation has been, man, Clemson, North Carolina, Miami supposed to be really good. Now they're just sitting there 500-ish, right? What happened in the league?
Yep.
Well, the league is, Wake Forest is the story. Pitt's been terrific. NC State's a top 25 team, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I think to me that was kind of a no-brainer. Wake Forest. Could they get through October undefeated? Yes, they can.
There you go.
Biggest disappointment?
Mm.
I'll lead off with this. Boston College. No, when we went from the end of September into October, Eagles were undefeated.
Yeah.
Right? Going to Death Valley.
Sure.
Right? The buildup. And, man, October was miserable. Yep. I mean, it was just a zero for Jeff Hafley, who, again, we're big fans of Hafley. But BC going winless in October, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I did not think that they would sit there and pitch a shutout. But they did.
Yep.
They got to figure it out moving forward.
No doubt about that. And so BC makes a list. For me, it's the ACC as a whole. The biggest disappointment in October is the reality that I'm not ruling it all the way out, but it's pretty close that the ACC falls out of the college football playoff hunt. You know, three teams in the top 14 when the season started. We've documented this. The league is proven to be very competitive, maybe the most competitive of the Power Five leagues, but it's come at a cost. It's come at a cost of potentially not having a team or two teams like last year in the mix for the college football playoff at the end of the season.
Well, let's be honest. If Clemson, North Carolina, Miami had the greatest opportunities based on what we thought in the middle of the summer, right?
Yep.
And when all three go LLL in week one, there it starts. I mean,
you're
back's against the wall that, quite frankly, you got to win out after you go LLL, those three. And, you know, that didn't happen. So the college football playoff to me for this league just kind of dissipated early September. No disrespect to Wake Forest. I know Wake fans are going, hey, we got a chance for Wake Forest to go run the table. You got to get all kinds of chaos in front of you.
That's right.
Because there's just not enough quality, big-time W's on the schedule to justify a top four spot. And if that offends somebody, I hate to break the news to you. That's called reality.
Yeah. No, at this point, it's a long shot at best for the ACC.
Yeah.
Biggest surprise. We both agree on this one. Miami's back-to-back wins against ranked teams.
Didn't see it.
You know what? 2 weeks ago, the clouds were darkening, weren't they?
Game you did.
Yeah, after the Carolina game. Clouds were darkening. Not now. Not now. I mean, and we're going to talk to the young man that I think has sparked a lot of this. Tyler Van Dyke will join us at 9:15 this morning. Win against NC State at home, the win Saturday at Pittsburgh, things have changed.
You know, when I watched your game, it was your game, with Miami, North Carolina.
Right.
When it ended, remember how chippy the last 10 minutes of that game? I mean, it was just, you know, there's a lot of talking back and forth, pointing fingers. And again, these are two teams that expected to have great years and somebody was losing.
Right.
And North Carolina won the game. And I still remember the handshake with Manny Diaz and Mac Brown when that game ended. Mm-hmm. And Mac kind of tried to console Manny. Again, they go way back, right?
Yep.
And, you know, their relationship. And when Manny got done with the exchange and he started walking off, I was sitting here at the house watching. And I was like, wow, man, that is Manny Diaz in a tough spot, right? They're at 2-4, a game that they had momentum late. You know, the tip pass ends the game. And you're thinking, golly, what is going to happen with Miami, right?
Yep.
Long trip back home. You look at the schedule. God, we got NC State and Pitt in the next 2 weeks, and they're 2-4.
I remember we said it on Monday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're thinking, this could be ugly.
Right.
And here they are. You know, kind of what Florida State did. You think we're down? Watch us. We got a little more character than you might think. We're going to bounce back. Miami did exactly the same thing. And good for them.
Yeah.
Good for Manny. Good for those guys.
Yeah.
They say, we're better than this.
No, you're right. And they've turned it around, and now – interesting opportunity on Saturday with Georgia Tech visiting at 12:30.
That's right. All right, best game of the month. I went off the beaten path a little bit here. I went volleyball. You heard me, volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And I went number 2 Louisville, number 4 Pitt in an ultimate showdown. It went five sets, and it was tight in the fifth set. So, you try to find stuff in the month that maybe doesn't get enough attention. This was great stuff, man. These two are beast. Louisville and Pitt. Two against four. So that was my game of the month for the ACC. Volleyball.
Coach Fisher probably is not going to be very happy with us.
Did you go volleyball? Did you go to the same game?
I went volleyball. No, I went a different game. Earlier, before they lost in Louisville in five, they were number two in the country and lost to Georgia Tech in five. And it was Georgia Tech's highest-ranked win in program history. And it handed Pitt their first loss of the season. So Michelle A. Collier and Georgia Tech beat Pittsburgh on October the 10th, 18 upset two. And, you know, Julia Bregman had a big game. Brambilla also contributed for Georgia Tech through the night. And the Jackets are winners. So Georgia Tech beat Pittsburgh in a five-setter. And then a week or so later, Louisville beat them.
How bizarre is it we both went volleyball for the month?
I just thought that when you saw Georgia Tech, number one, they won the match in Pittsburgh. Georgia Tech did. And then Louisville and Pitt played the great five-setter on ACC Network.
You know, during the month, because I know NOPAD comes up at the end of my – when I see a story that we probably didn't spend enough attention on because football dominates the fall, I always make a note going, all right, I'm going to put that in the NOPAD. And when Pitt-Louisville had their volleyball match, I circled and said, that is my game of the month. Nothing's going to top that. It's kind of weird how that worked out.
Yeah. I was thinking all along – Georgia Tech beating Pittsburgh was probably going to be mine.
How about that?
There you go. All right.
Notepad.
When we come back, Wake's on a magical run. Harkens us back to your school, though, and when your school's magical run occurred. Syracuse wasn't that long ago. For North Carolina, well, how about Boston College? We're going to dive into everybody when we come back. Packer and Durham continues on ACC.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday, 844-SAY-ACCN. That magic carpet ride. Wake Forest is on one right now. Deeks are 8-0 into November. AP top 10. We'll find out what the College Football Playoff Committee thinks tonight.
Yeah.
See where Wake falls on that deal. But we're going to take a look back at everybody's magical runs.
Yeah, some of these are recent memory. In fact, with Syracuse, it's 3 years ago. And we'll start with the Orange, and we'll try and do this in chronological order to the last magical run. And maybe you've got a different one. If so, hit us on Twitter, at ACC Network, at Mark Packer, at West Durham, or 844-SAY-ACCN. The Orange were coming off a 4-8 season in 2017, and they suffered back-to-back losses in the last week of September and first week in October at Clemson and at Pitt. And then after that, look at their pack. Holy cow. They stacked them. Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest, Louisville. Did lose at Notre Dame, but then finished up with Boston College, a 3-touchdown win, and an impressive bowl win against West Virginia.
I see that screen and see the scores. Look at how many points this team scored, right?
Yeah.
Dino Babers, the reputation, hey, wide open, going 1,000 miles an hour, going to score a ton. And he's kind of adapted a little bit when you kind of see where they are now, the way they play. Tucker just shoving it down your throat. But this team was special, man. They were tough. They could score. Dungy was really good. They were a fun team to watch.
Yeah, they were. They had a lot of weapons. Amba Edetawa on the perimeter. Eric Dungy was a great two-way threat at quarterback. Now, if you're going to have an honorable mention for Syracuse, you got to go all the way back to 87. I mean, because Coach Mack and Don McPherson – came into the season unranked. They went 11 straight, got to the Sugar Bowl against Auburn. Pat Dye kicked for the point rather than go for two.
Terrible.
Yeah. Good football team, though.
Yes, sir. No question about it. Really good.
And took a lot of names along the way in 87.
Yeah, and I still remember watching that Sugar Bowl going, come on, man, you don't play for a stinking tie, Auburn. What are you doing? Go for the win.
Go for the ring.
Come on. Right? We don't get this far. Let's get out of here with a tie. It's so weak.
Yep.
Beyond weak.
6 years ago, Larry Fedora in North Carolina lost to South Carolina in the opening game of the season in Charlotte.
In Charlotte.
Yep. Bad, a lot of red zone turnovers that night.
Bad loss.
Bad loss.
Is what that was.
You know what they did then? Won 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Till they went to the same town and lost again.
To Clemson. Well, controversial finish on that one, by the way. And then lost to Baylor in the, was it the Russell Athletic Bowl, I think.
Yeah, whatever. They all sound the same after.
49-38.
If you're not in the big turn, if you're not in the big ones, West, they all sound the same.
But they beat Carolina 38-31. Wake Forest got beat. So did Virginia at Pitt. I think that was a Thursday night game, a little bit like this year's pack. Hung 66 on Duke. Fedora and Carolina had it rolling with Marquise Williams. And, man, look at that. Jeff Schottmer at linebacker. Elijah Hood from here in Charlotte.
That's right.
He was a big-time back, wasn't he?
Sure was.
And Carolina had it going.
Good team, man.
Yep.
All these teams are going to be good, yeah. What you're going to see here. It's a good group.
Honorable mention was 1996, the season before the season that had the Tar Heel fans buzzing. Carolina kind of got it back on the map. They started the season, beat Clemson 45-0,
yeah.
Then beat Syracuse 27-10. But they lost their next two games. Oh, they lost to Virginia. 13-0 to Florida State, 20-17 in Charlottesville when they were number 6 in the polls.
There's something about North Carolina when they go to Charlottesville in football, right? It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's one of the weirdest.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say jinx or curses because I don't believe in such things. But it's one of the weirdest matchups that North Carolina can take. I don't care where they're ranked.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Charlottesville, and it's just like, it just can't play anymore.
Yeah. Ben Howell on Twitter said in 2015, and he makes a good point here. Larry Fedora, Ben Howell points out, big thanks to Coach Gene Chizik for his defensive leadership that season in Chapel Hill. He was the defensive coordinator Coach Chiz was in 15. Too bad about that offsides call in the ACC championship game. Good point, Ben.
So you thought it was offsides?
See?
I'm asking.
I knew. I thought it was close.
Yeah, but yes or no?
From what I saw, it might have been.
Okay.
Nah. No. Please. All right. 2009, before they came to the ACC, a magical run for the Pitt Panthers. They lost to NC State 38-31 on September 26th. It was the only blemish of the year for Dave Weinstadt's team. They catapulted into the top 10. You see, with wins at Louisville, beat UConn, Rutgers, South Florida, Syracuse, Notre Dame, and then lost two of the last three. The one at West Virginia, then lost by a point to Cincinnati before beating North Carolina at the end of the year. That was Pittsburgh. The backyard brawl probably hurt worse than all of them.
Ugh, you know it.
Yeah.
What is it about the Pitt head coaches? Got a little fiery to them, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Wanstead was a trip to watch on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Narduzzi's wide open.
Love it.
Right?
Yep. I do.
Got a little edge to him.
Yep. So the Panthers, 2009. Boston College is next.
Before you get to BC, yeah. I'll say this again. Pittsburgh, you guys did such a great job going back to the old school units because every time I watch – old Pitt highlights when they're wearing the real gold and the dark blue.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Well, it's like when we ran that Carolina video from Charlottesville, the block numbers with the little drop shadow on them.
The old school stuff works, man.
It does.
I'm glad Pitt went back to it.
Yeah. Boston College, they've kind of gone back to the block numbers.
They have.
Because when you see this Matt Ryan jersey with a skinny 12 on it, you'll know what we mean. BC started 8-0 in 2007. They reached number 2 in the poll. Got the win at Charlottesville on a Thursday night, 14-10. And then lost to the Hokies in the ACC championship game before beating Michigan State to finish 11-3. Jeff Jagosinski had the Eagles rolling, man, in 2007. Ryan, 4,507 yards. 31 touchdowns on the way to being the ACC Player of the Year. There's Rich Gunnell.
Mm.
Here's the one against the Tigers. Bang.
Perfect.
Yep. And Herzlick, make a tackle. There we go.
He had a couple thousand, didn't he? He He was everywhere.
Yeah, he was. You could also, for BC, throw up 1992. The Eagles reached number 9 in the polls with Tom Coughlin. They started 7-0-1, including a win at Penn State. And just like the 07 team, the ride came to an end when they got beat by Notre Dame 54-7.
Yeah, that was a tough L.
That was one you take with you.
Yeah, there's nobody talking about onside kicks in that game.
No, sir. All right. Virginia Tech last in this segment. 2004 is the season that where the preseason expectations weren't terribly lofty. They started the season unranked. They lost to Southern California in the opener. Remember, that was a FedEx Field game pack up in Landover. Western Michigan obviously didn't put up a big fight, 63-0. They lost by a point to NC State, and then the Hokies took off, beating West Virginia, number 6 in the country. That led to 8 straight wins, Virginia at 16, Miami at 9 along the way, and then the bowl game against Auburn was finally where they finished 10-3 on the year. Brian Randall.
They had a bunch of teams, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, to be honest with you, Frank Beamer and Virginia Tech, they were carrying the league in the early part of this century.
Right? Sure were.
When the Bobby Bowden thing was kind of, the wheels were falling off, Clemson wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. Tommy Bowden was trying to get that thing jump started.
Yep.
And really, Virginia Tech was the go-to team in the league.
Joe Hester tweeted in 2010, started off 0-2 with losses to Boise State. That was also a FedEx Field game. And then JMU didn't lose again the rest of the regular season and defeated Jimbo Fisher's team in Charlotte. It's not a bad point. That one is, when you go 0-2 and you kind of make a run behind that, you tend to remember those too.
That's true. Like I said, Virginia Tech was the team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the go-to guys in this league. And, you know, you mentioned 04. I was thinking, well, there's probably another 2 or 3 we could have added to that list where Virginia Tech had it going on. And Frank Beamer, again, recruiting was great.
Yeah.
Tremendous coach. A lot of momentum with the program. Mm-hmm. Fans loved it. Traveled like crazy. And the league needed them because nobody else was in position to help Virginia Tech.
That's right. When we come back, we will dive into more of these. Louisville Cardinals are on the list. So are the NC State Wolfpack, the Virginia Cavaliers, and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Maybe you got one as well that we're not showing you. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll come back and dial it all the plain white helmets of the George Welsh Wahoos. There's Philip Rivers. Goodness heavens. In the Wayback Machine we go next, halfway home on a Tuesday with Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Good Durham. Chester with a good seat on the Roger Goodell chair. He's out to about 10:05. Of course, the boys know it's not a Friday, so they're not going to Bojangles.
No. No.
Life's still good, man. Dogs are living right. Chester's about due for a
so
grooming.
So their owner, by the way.
No doubt.
Their owner's living really right.
That's right. Doing the best I can. Yeah. Trying to make ends meet.
Unexpected runs. Kind of seasons to remember. All the spark of Wake's climb here to number 10 in the AP poll ahead of the first college football playoff rankings, which are tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN. All right. Louisville. Couple of different choices here.
Mm-hmm.
Our group settled on 2004. The Cards were a 41-38 road loss to Miami from being a perfect season. 11-1 and averaging almost 50 a game.
Bobby Petrino had it going on too now. Seriously. He had some good
look at the
good
numbers
teams.
From midway on. 56, 55, 65, 70, 55. And, hey, Boise, here's 44 on your way out the door.
They were good, man. Really good.
Man. Stephon LaFleur's, please. 2,500 yards, 20 scores. Eric Shelton, 20 touchdowns on the ground. It's crazy.
Bobby Petrino had good teams, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Jumped on Jim Grobe's guys, right?
Oh, man. 06 for sure. Yeah.
There were a lot of years you could pick with Louisville football.
That is correct.
A lot.
That is correct. The unexpected one, though, 2004. NC State Where would you go here?
There's only one place to go.
Phillip Rivers?
No, I'd have gone back to Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz, would you?
We didn't have footage on him.
The Bucky Twins?
Ralph
Stringer?
It's just me. I'd have gone back 50 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I would have.
Yeah, I know. Maybe the White Shoes defense. Instead, we went to the White Shoes defense, who was the head coach.
That's right. Sunglasses.
Hey!
And
all. Yeah. Hey! Chuck Amato, year three, coaching the Pack. Oh, you didn't lose to Georgia Tech when they talked about the Fiesta Bowl that day in the Raleigh News and Observer,
look
did
at
you?
You getting the pom-poms out.
I'm not getting the
jinx on
out.
People.
No, I'm not putting the jinx on them. They gave up 3rd and 27 to A.J. Suggs to Jonathan Smith.
They were just exhausted because they had scored so much against Clemson.
That might be the case.
I was at that game.
Is that where they picked up the onside kick and ran it in?
Yeah. Thursday night game.
Yeah. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Holy Moses.
They were exhausted.
Hey!
Georgia Tech got them because NC State was just so tired of scoring on
that
the Tigers.
Might have been the case. Let's roll the video. This is when Jericho Cotcher and Phillip Rivers wired up the Noles on ABC. There's a win at Ohio State, right?
No, it was a loss.
Oh, that was a loss? Look at that, though.
Could have been a win, but it wasn't.
No. I tell you what, 17 was something now. He showed up. People were like, okay, maybe. And next thing you know, he's blitzing people.
You know, I always have been fascinated, even when he was playing in the pros, his throwing motion just looks so – yeah, it's just kind of like he's throwing hand grenades.
Yeah.
Right? There's something – I don't know what he's doing.
We don't have video of Gordon Klingscale scoring the game winner. And Carter Finley.
Why are you looking at me? I'm not involved in this.
Oh, sorry.
I don't put the highlights together.
I just want to see.
I just make coffee.
I just want to see if NC State folks were listening.
No, they'll be listening.
I'll be.
You take a shot at the wall. You've already taken one shot.
Did I?
Yeah. Georgia Tech.
I guess the guy that said I jinxed him.
As the voice of the Jackets, yeah, you did take a shot.
He said I jinxed him on TV. I wasn't doing TV then.
Well,
that's okay.
It got nothing to do with whether you were on television or not. It had everything to do with whether or not you were talking trash about the Wolfpack.
Phillip Rivers, 3,300 yards.
Look how quickly
yards,
you got off that topic.
29 touchdowns.
Got off that topic. That's as fast as I've seen you move in
months.
Since I said, hey, I can do some more fresh coffee. Yeah.
All right, Virginia, 1992. Season ended with 4 losses in the final 6. Who's won 5 in a row to start the year, including a 55-24 beating of Georgia Tech in Charlottesville.
That covered
41-30. Oh, I wasn't doing the games.
Oh, I see.
This was, by the way, Bill Lewis's first year as the head coach in Atlanta. Well, a year and a half later, it was kind of over.
That was always a strange hire to me.
55-24, but Welsh's team, you see, they lose to Clemson. And see, this is what we're talking about at the top of the show today about Wake Forest. You start off winning, the hard part's finishing, isn't it? Remember?
Well, people start paying attention like, okay, all right, we're going to treat you like you're big time.
Right. Man, Cavaliers, though.
They were good.
Slinging it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just look at those Virginia teams, and they played really good defense, and they had 100 guys playing defense. But a Virginia team of 92 outscored opponents 44-16. They got to number 10 in the poll. Remember, 2 years earlier had been number 1, so they were kind of moving through that era and then bounced back in 92. Paul Ragland tweeted in, Pack. He said 1984, 6-5 in 83 with the upset of Carolina. Began 84 hopeful. Opened with a 55-0 loss to Clemson. Then they go 7-1-2.
Speed limit. 55, Virginia, nothing.
That's
I've
right.
I've told that story before.
Right. Then they go and land the Peach Bowl and beat Jim Everett 27-24 to finish 8-2-2. Interesting.
That was the sense that Virginia, I told you that story, the 84 opener. There was such huge expectations that Virginia has finally arrived. And then that night when Danny put one more on them,
yeah,
you were like, same old Virginia. And no,
right?
They rocked it the rest of the year. And that was really kind of the start of, hey, you're going to have to deal with Virginia.
Right.
Welsh had it going on. He figured it out.
Here's another one about Virginia. Pat 12 After Dark, I love the Twitter handle, says 2007, all the one score wins, and they closed the Orange Bowl 48-0.
That's
I remember that night.
That game alone should have been enough reason for the folks in Miami to go, we're not tearing this place down with the last time we saw the Canes playing it, losing 48-0.
Yeah.
I thought they should have kept it for one more year.
Yeah.
But, again, I have no power.
Georgia Tech is next on our list. Easy to say 1990, but you have to qualify it. Georgia Tech had won five of the last six to finish 1989. And the turning point for, and I was just with a bunch of these guys last week, the turning point was the Clemson win, 21-19 at Grant Field. They tie North Carolina at the end. Scott Sisson kicks a field goal to tie Mack Brown's 1990 Carolina team. And then the Virginia game everybody talks about, but Pack, again, this conversation with these guys last week, the 6-3 win against Virginia Tech, where Sisson missed some field goals and they had to kick one at the end. And then Virginia Tech missed one late that would have tied the game.
What happened at Wake Forest?
They won at Wake Forest, by the way. They won after Virginia Tech. They didn't lose again after the tie. See, they were 11-0-1.
No, so they beat Wake 42-7.
They beat Wake Forest.
I saw that score. Like, what happened in that afternoon?
Yeah. So there's a misprint there on the screen. Shawn Jones, of course, the quarterback. There's a win against South Carolina. Here we go, 90.
The game.
Yeah, this is a good one. And it's fondly remembered, and now we're 30-some years later. Certainly Georgia Tech remembers it better than Virginia, but the documentary, I thought, We're Number One, showed you the respect the two teams have for each other.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
We can do that now, 30 years after the fact.
Exactly,
you look
right
back at it, and everybody's been relatively successful.
That's it, yeah. Honorable mention came in, Paul Johnson's 2014 team. You remember that? The year before, they just kind of got into a bowl. Nobody really knew what to expect. They went 11-3, beat Clemson, 18, Georgia at 8, and then Mississippi State, who had been number one in 2014. But they lost at Duke, lost at Carolina. Everybody thought they were done. They didn't enter the top 10 until after the bowl game win over Mississippi State. Now, Skylar Doak Davis says, 2008, a man on the radio said, some said they'd be 9-3, but we got a case of the 9-3s. That was Paul Johnson's first year where they had, and I'm not kidding, 11 turnovers in the spring game running the offense. And by the time the year started, they found a way. They did lose to Virginia at home, but they beat Georgia. And anytime Georgia Tech beats Georgia, changes the dynamic of the way things are.
Who did you jinx in 08?
I don't know that I got anybody in 08.
Oh, yeah, you did.
No.
You had to get somebody.
I don't think about that stuff until I started working with you, ironically. So there you go.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, you acknowledged, that year, unlike other years. That's what you meant by that statement.
Not that year I didn't get anybody?
Yeah, which means that
you
got...
I don't know that I get anybody anyway.
No. See, I listen. I heard what you said. Mm-hmm. You said, I might not have gotten anybody that year, meaning I've gotten them other years.
Oh, every once in a while during a basketball game on the radio, you can talk about it all you want and they'll still make them. And Randy Waters in Atlanta would say, didn't get them that time.
I'm sure somewhere in the 08 football season, there was a moment that Georgia Tech needed something, and you put the jinx on them.
Yeah, maybe.
Not maybe.
Maybe.
There's no maybe.
I don't remember.
There's no maybe.
I don't remember
here.
That like I remember other things that get said on the air.
Did you do it that often?
Mm-mm.
That they just all start running together?
Maybe. You never know. All right.
Maybe.
Let's go to Duke.
Maybe.
Let's maybe go to Duke.
Gosh.
All right. Couple of candidates.
We need to go back in the archives, the Georgia Tech radio.
Good luck
network.
There.
Surely somebody in Atlanta's got their hands on those.
You never know.
Maybe.
Maybe. Couple of candidates for Duke, by the way. The first one, Packer would be disappointed if we didn't do this one. 1989.
Got to be on that list.
Oh, absolutely. Seven-game win streak. Wins the regular season.
Youngster people, Randy Cuthbert, person people running through us. Brother Oliver, figure out what's going on, brother.
Yeah.
Oliver.
Beat Carolina 41-0, took a picture.
Took a snapshot.
Yep. Liz forever in the rivalry. 21-17 over Clemson. Ooh.
I was in the rain.
35-26 at NC State. 41-0 on Carolina. They had it up to 37. There we go.
Head ball coach.
Yep. Take a look, yeah. Good day to be a Blue Devil. Win at Tennessee. Huh? Oh, look at that. That's Texas Tech there in the Independence Bowl in Birmingham, I believe. That is Clarkston Hines, kids, and his name does not get mentioned enough. Should. He's a really good player. I think he was the ACC Player of the Year that year.
He was a great player.
Yes, he was. Honorable mention, 1994, the miracle worker. Fred Goldsmith started 7-0, got him all the way up to number 16 in the poll. Then they got beat by 39 in Tallahassee.
That'll happen to you.
Yes, it will.
Florida State
start
did that to
you. Start feeling good about yourself, and then you play the Noles.
Oh, Florida State did that to a lot of people in the 90s.
Yeah. Duke beat Virginia on the road, though, number 13 in the country, 28-25, but then lost their last three, including, I think, to Wisconsin in the Hall of Fame Bowl, as I recall. But had Player of the Year in Robert Baldwin. Remember the running back?
Good player, too.
So, yeah, really good player. So, Coach Goldsmith, by the way, lives in Western North Carolina. I saw him this summer, said he sees the show from time to time. So, thanks for watching, Coach.
Fred, from time to time. What else you doing up there?
Franklin? You got a lot to do in Franklin out there.
Yeah, after 10 a.m.
Sit tight. More to come. We will we'll finish up this list. This has been kind of fun. Miami is coming up. So is Clemson and Florida State. Oh, look at there. Young Robert Klecker Bowden. Oh man, packed film. We got film coming up next. Oh, Perry Tuttle? Uh-oh, there he is. Coach Ford. All that and more coming up next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Magic carpet rides continue from a year of being unranked to having something special happen.
Yeah, you start the year unranked, you end up putting a big number up. Miami did this, probably maybe one of the best examples. Go all the way to the national championship 1983 with Coach Snellenberger, right?
I was there. Right there with him in the championship game.
They beat Notre Dame 20-0. In September, when the Irish were kind of feeling themselves in the national rankings.
Well, how about the last two?
Beat Florida State by a point.
That Nebraska game. By a point. I was at that game that night. That was one of the Bernie Kosar, Dr. Tom Osborne says, I'm going for two. We didn't show up to pull the old Pat Dye trick routine, end up in the tie. We're here for the W.
Yeah.
Miami, that was the start of it.
Sure.
Five natties.
There's Bernie Kosar.
Yep.
You get Nebraska and off you go as a program, right? Think about that. Just an amazing, amazing run for Miami in that light. So we had an honorable mention here. Mark Richt pulled off a couple good ones, mostly 2016, they reached number 10 after starting the season 4-0. Now, they lost to Florida State on October the 8th, and that started a four-game losing streak. The next year, they started 10-0. They beat Virginia Tech. Of course, they beat Notre Dame on a Saturday night at the Orange Bowl. And then they lost to Pitt, which we talked about last week as potentially reversing ground, and it happened. Miami went up there, not expected to put up much of a fight against the Panthers, and bang, won the game. So, shows you sometimes how it all comes around again.
They didn't beat Notre Dame at the Orange Bowl, but it felt like the old Orange Bowl that night.
Yeah. So, the Canes, by the way, lost their last three games after losing to Pittsburgh.
Lost to Wisconsin at home in the bowl game.
Yeah, sure did. Like
smoked by Clemson in the ACC game. It was old Kenny Pickett's the one that started all that.
Kenny Pickett started it. That's
and
exactly.
You know what? Miami returned a favor Saturday.
That is correct.
They sure did.
Clemson is next. And got a note during the break from our friend, Mr. Bure. Mm-hmm. 1981, Clemson is still the only team in college football history to win the national championship after getting zero poll points in the preseason AP poll. Which once again galvanizes Packers' theory of it doesn't matter.
The AP poll is just so irrelevant. And I know people take such great pride. I'm an AP voter. Good for you. That's awesome.
1981 National Championship. And remember, the Tigers. Now, think about it in this landscape. Clemson did not enter the national rankings until they beat Georgia.
That's right.
Wofford, nobody cared. Tulane, got five. Green Wave must have seen Clemson take a knee at the end zone or something to get the last two. Then they beat Georgia. Then they won at Kentucky. Shut out Virginia. Beat Duke. NC State fell. 82 on Clemson. Holy smokes.
That game, I've told this story before, I believe.
And Billy were there.
Yeah, this is my freshman year at Clemson. The Wake Forest game was played on Halloween. The Tigers showed up at the top of the hill before the Tigers touched Howard's Rock, dressed in a jack-o'-lantern. And they put 82 on the Deacs. I went to visit Billy and Barb at halftime.
Yeah.
Because they were sitting over there at the Wake section. I walked from the student section over, sat down with Billy and Barb at halftime. The guy sitting in front of Billy said, if those SOBs score again, I'm out of here. The very first play of the second half, Perry Tuttle deep down the sideline, touchdown. Before he got to the end zone, that guy got up and walked right out of the stadium.
There you go.
Danny Ford had no idea who scored the last touchdown on his coach's show.
We beat Georgia.
Some fullback dive. He had no idea who the guy was.
Yeah.
Youngster Porson, 44, or whatever the guy's number was. Fine youngster, Christian athlete, Porson people, guy. Had no idea who he was. Had no idea. Jim, the late, great Jim Phillips.
Coach.
Here comes coach. Joey Smith.
Here's Joey Smith.
The fullback dive.
Coach.
Fine youngster people. Nice. Works hard.
I know we go through a lot of video clearances and copyrights and all sorts of legalese to get stuff. If we could just get about 2 minutes of Jim Phillips and Danny Ford's TV show one
so
day.
So great.
Oh, my God. I'd even bargain to see if we could go to the archives and get some Hey Woody and Bill Dooley.
Those old coaches shows, man.
Woody, our fine kicker, Tom Biddle, comes on to kick the extra point, and lo and behold, we lead the College of William and Mary 7-0. I say Carolina there because in 81, the 10-8 game against Carolina-Clemson 10-8 in Chapel Hill, ABC, national broadcast, the whole nine yards. We've heard a lot about Clemson, Virginia, or Georgia Tech, Virginia this year, 41-38. Great game.
One bigger than that one.
10-8 game, as crazy as it sounds, might be the best game in ACC history.
Yeah. And that was coming up this week, 40 years ago.
Right.
How about that? That's 40. Hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if we can find a couple folks maybe to be on with us Thursday or so. Talk about the 10-8 game.
One of the all-timers now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a rock'em sock'em, big boy-only football game.
Sure was. Homer Jordan only threw for 1,600 yards. But he had Cliff Austin carrying the rock. Terry Kennard defensively was a man. Jeff Davis on that team, too.
William Perry.
Yep.
My era, man. Freshman year.
All right, Florida State wraps us up.
I thought we'd win one every year I was there. That's it. What's so hard about winning these national titles around here? Show up once and ta-da.
Old boy from Davie County thought it was just going to be every year.
I'd come back, see all my buddies here in North Carolina. You're not going to believe this, man. Our football team's so good. We're going to kick everybody's rear end. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Where do you go to school? Clemson.
Yeah,
I never heard of him.
Well, they had Edgar Pickett from Lexington, North Carolina, at linebacker.
They had some dudes now.
Yeah. Similar to Clemson, you got to kind of set this up for Florida State because you got to take them out of the national rankings and then have a year. So the best example is probably 1977.
About that.
You got to go all the way back. Florida State started the season 8-1 and reached number 13 in Bobby Bowden's second year. Let's go to the schedule, kids. Any place, any time, right, Pac?
It's what,
we'll go play them. That's how you end up at San Diego State in November.
That's why he was the greatest, man, because he said he didn't care. I'll tell you what, I'll go play at your house four times. You come to my place once.
Totally agree. Look at this. At Southern Miss, at Kansas State. Look at the ats. At Oklahoma State, at Virginia Tech, at San Diego State, and 37-9 at Florida. They finished 10-2, and away we go, right?
Yeah, it took them 2 years.
Yeah.
The rest is history.
Oh, we're on the turf at Florida Field. Is that North Texas? Got to be, right? Yeah, North Texas, that team.
Is that Danny Cannell? No,
no, that's not Dan. That's the old.
I'm just kidding.
That's the old turf at Florida Field, though. How about that? That looked good, didn't it? Let's go out to Lubbock. There we go. Man, go on and get them, Bobby.
You know what else was great about one of those old videos, or how people painted end zones? Right, I love the old painted end zones because it's totally different. I showed you one the other day with the old
Gator Bowl.
Gator Bowl was just awesome.
Yep,
had the freaking gator from tail to, from nose to tail,
and you kind of squeezed the school in there at the top.
Yeah, so cool.
That was back at the old Gator Bowl where my buddy Larry Munson used to go. You have no idea where the bathroom is. Okay, Larry. Take your word for it. It's four floors down. Anyway, when we come back, conference cuts, Dave Doran on the list, Scott Satterfield, Justin Fuente, and Manny Diaz, all part of the second edition of Conference Cuts on this Tuesday with Packer and Durham right here on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Packer and Durham.